Hello, everybody. I'm Pete Sanchez, and with my co-host, Mike Walsh, we are Talking Catholic, the official podcast of the Catholic community of South Jersey, where we have long-form conversations with Catholic individuals making a difference in the Diocese of Camden. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes. Please give us a 4-star rating and let us know how great we are. You can also find us on SoundCloud and Google Play. And please let us know how we are doing, as I said, on iTunes, and who do you want us to speak with, who is making a difference in South Jersey. And in the Diocese of Camden, we have some really interesting things coming up soon. A diaconate ordination of Anthony Infante will be Saturday, May 30th at Our Lady Peace Williamstown at 10:30 a.m., and a week later, a priest, there'll be an ordination to the priesthood. Deacon Adam Shahosky, cathedral, it's at the Cathedral of Immaculate Conception in Camden. That is also at 10:30 on May 20th. So May 13th, diaconate ordination, Anthony Infante, and priest ordination, May 20th, Deacon Adam Shahosky to the priesthood. So pray for both of them, and please attend. And also, May 21st, youth and young adults, Catholic schools, families, junior high, you are invited to ride the coasters at Great Adventure, Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson for the 22nd annual New Jersey Catholic Youth Rally. So come out. It's $50. There's catered buffet, parking. Registration begins at 8:30, and there's a closing liturgy at 6 p.m., so just all day, you can visit www.camdendiocese.org/youthrally to sign up. So come on out. It'll be rain or shine. And I'm here, as I said before, with Mike Walsh, Director of Communications for the Diocese.
Hey, Mike. Pete. How are you? This is a good podcast today because at least two, if not all three of your updates for this week have a lot to do with where we are today. Because once again, we are not in the vault, are we?
No, we are not. We are actually in the environs of Williamstown. So our second road trip.
Yes.
We wheels up, man. We did it. I think that's a phrase.
That's a phrase. Sure.
But I'm happy to be here. The sun is shining.
Yeah. And, you know, just to get back to the things that are coming up shortly, the ordinations, they're really beautiful events. If you've never been to one, I've been blessed to go to several of them. You really get to see the spiritual future of a diocese and a parish and the church in general when you get to see these young men first taking their diaconate ordination and then taking the priesthood at ordination. And you and I both had an opportunity to spend some time with these seminarians over the years. And they're such a great group of guys. You know, you really get the impression that the church in South Jersey is going to be left in very good hands with these young priests coming through. By the time this recording goes out, iRace for Vocations, the faith raiser for vocations in South Jersey, will have happened. And it's going from iRace into the ordinations is just sort of this really great opportunity to see the cultivation of the priesthood, and not just the priesthood. The iRace of Vocations certainly touches on all vocations, but in this particular chain of events, you really get to see that priesthood, especially when we have the Jubilarians Mass in the same month. So here are these new priests coming into the diocese, and here are these very, how should we put it, seasoned priests of the diocese celebrating 25 and 40 and 50 years of the priesthood. I hope people will take advantage of seeing what they're going to see in the next 30 days.
Yeah, I think so. And also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations is May 7th. So all these things, May and April, when we just happened with the iRace, it's just a beautiful time, like you said, to come together, and the beauty of the ordained priests, and it's just going to be a great experience.
Yeah,
really looking forward.
And that gets into the sort of the youthful exuberance that is the church, particularly in South Jersey, which leads us into our guest today.
I think youthful exuberance is an understatement for our guest today, who I've had the privilege of knowing almost since I first started working in the diocese. And I can glad to call her a friend. We have Kara Janice, the coordinator of Youth and Young Adult Ministry here at Our Lady Peace Parish in Williamstown. Carrie, how are you today?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. Good to be here. Well, thanks for being here. You're here in Williamstown. So it's great to be with you guys this afternoon on this lovely day. And I'm doing well, thanks. How about you guys?
Very good. Very good. Thanks for asking. So tell us a little bit about your ministry here in the parish. Sure. We'll go into a lot of detail, but just sort of give us an overview of what it is that you do here in the parish.
Sure. So my title is Coordinator of Youth and Young Adult Ministries here at Our Lady of Peace Parish. So it's a full-time position at the parish, and I'm blessed to have a part-time associate as well who works with me, TJ Givens. So he's like more or less an assistant youth minister. Short title would be youth minister for myself. And easy for the kids to remember, too. They don't want them, you know, referring to you as the coordinator of youth and young adult ministry. So, youth minister is the easier term. And I work here full-time with youth starting in third grade all the way to young adults 28 years old and everybody in between. So it spans a large frame, about 25 years. Sorry, is that right? Yeah. 25 years? Yeah, seems about right. Yeah, third grade. Yeah, somewhere around there. It's a good amount. Yeah, they're about 8 years old in third grade, and so about 20 years. 20 years old. Simple math. So I work with them in different programs for the youth and young adults. It's running ministries for them, which are divided up in our groups for third through fifth graders, sixth through eighth graders, high school, and then 18 to 28-year-old young adults. And then within my ministries, too, I also lead catechesis programs for high school teens that are in our religious ed program who want to make their sacraments. And I also, the last 3 years, started programs at the high school level called The Rock. So there's a lot underneath that domain of coordinator of youth and young adult ministries, and we can tap into the more details, but that's the short answer for you.
So how does someone like yourself sort of get into that? Like how do you make that progression from you're not a particularly older one, that youthful exuberance really comes through. Yes. What kind of led you to this ministry?
Sure. Well, short answer is God. Long answer would be I was involved as a youth myself. It was actually really cool this past Holy Week. For the first time in my 9 years of as a youth minister, I coordinated and put forth the Living Stations of the Cross. Mm. And for me, that was something really special because that was the very first thing I was involved in when I joined my high school youth group. I went to my first meeting. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And then at the end of the meeting, there was announcements, as there always are in these meetings, and they said, "We need more women of Jerusalem. Who wants to help out with the Stations of the Cross?" And I said, "Sure, I'll do it." Grabbed a friend, and I was in it. So that was just the start of a very long, continuous road for me in being involved in youth ministry as a youth myself and now as a youth minister. So I had gone on many retreats in high school. Then when I went to college, I went away to school. For me, it was at Rowan. I had grown up in North Jersey in the Archdiocese of Newark. So coming down to South Jersey to the Camden Diocese was a new experience going away to school. Went to Rowan and was immediately involved in the campus ministry there. It's called the Newman Club, now called Catholic Campus Ministry at Rowan University. And while being involved there, I met Father Maz, who is our current pastor. And the connection was made. And, you know, went on retreats there as a college student, was involved. I was the president of the Newman Club my senior year and kind of always stayed involved, supporting them, sponsored students to go on retreats after when I was working. And right after college, I got a job in New York in the field that I went to college for, which was graphic design. I worked there for 2.5 years full time. I had been there as an intern for about 2 years prior to that. So about almost 5 years total, I was working in New York. And while I loved that job and I found that my skills and my talents were lended themselves to working in that field in the high end of New York City, right in center Manhattan, I kept feeling there's something else I'm supposed to do. And I also started kind of slightly feeling like just, you know, not working with people started to bother me a little bit. I was a people person, and sitting in front of a computer creating art wasn't doing it for me, wasn't satisfying my inner desires, I guess, you know, my calling. So when I got married in 2007, 10 years ago, I relocated back to South Jersey. Hooked up with Father Maz, who was at St. Bridges at the time. Worked for a little bit in the field of graphic design about 8 months after I was married, and I lost that job. And it was the worst, best day of my life because it was scary because we had just had a house. We were newly married. We had bills. We had a mortgage. Didn't know where the money was going to come from to pay all those bills, but we trusted. And Father said, well, I'm going to be creating a full-time youth minister position, but it's going to be in a few months. So can you hold off? And I'd like to make you, and I know when you were in college, you were very involved in the Newman Center. And at that time, too, I helped assist with some local retreats that he would run. He'd run some confirmation retreats. He'd take some of the college students. I was always one that he picked to go. So kind of he had seen me in action a little bit. And so I said, absolutely, that is a dream job. So it kind of fell into my lap, kind of was God carving out all those paths with laying the foundation, working in New York, but feeling those feelings of not really, feeling called to do that. And then coming to South Jersey and meeting up with Father Maz again, and one thing led to another. So here I am, 9 years working for him, first at St. Bridget's for about 9 months, and then when he was transferred to St. Mary's at the time, now Our Lady Peace Parish, he asked me to come shortly after that, the fiscal year I started working here, which has been nothing but a blessing of a journey.
Oh, that's wonderful. And this is a very active parish. I always get that impression. Very, aside from leaning a bit youthful, I might even say, good parish with a lot of energy. And I think a lot of that, I know a lot of that has to do with Father Mads because he's got that energy as well. But I think a lot of it has to do with you. How do you corral all that energy over the course of a year? You know, for instance, how many kids do you have, say, overall?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the compliments. Sure. I like being energized and enthusiastic, and I always say with coffee and Jesus, I can do anything. as far as where it comes from, well, we give credit to the Holy Spirit, and then Father Maz and I do put in a lot of hard work. He's an amazing pastor on the work that he does here, not just with the youth, but the entire parish, from the elderly to the newborn. I mean, the man is well-liked and loved and admired by his parishioners of all ages, but of course he's a special attraction to the youth, and he is involved with our programs hands-on a lot, which is really cool to see. As far as our ministries and the vibrancy of them and the numbers, we are blessed to be a large parish, so it does help because you have a lot to draw from, a lot of younger families. We also have a school attached to the parish, St. Mary's Grammar School, so that's preschool to eighth grade. And so we have the kids to draw from there, but the amazing thing I like to see happen is that it's not just in our high school ministry, Williamstown kids. They're coming from other parishes that might not have a youth ministry at the time. We have a lot of homeschoolers that go to, some go to Mater Ecclesiae, which there's no youth ministry there, so they'll come to ours. So we have kids coming from as far as Bedford and Marlton to hometown grown Williamstown kids. So That's really neat to see. So it's not just the kids from St. Mary's School, which there are a bunch of them. They're coming from all over. And then the same for young adults. And it's a little easier for them because they drive. So they will pick up and come from, we've had some from Pennsylvania, Carney's Point. And again, if they're not getting fed where they are, and usually it's the case that there's just nobody full-time there. Volunteers are great, but, you know, they come and go a lot of times. Often in youth ministry, there's a high turnover rate in that. So they come to somewhere that's a little bit more established. And I think we have that on our side, too. I've been here full-time now 8 years, and so that helps in establishing the program. So an average week, youth-wise, our meetings will be anywhere from 30 to 50 high schoolers regularly, usually no less than 30, and usually more around 40 to 50. Depending on the season, sports and things have always to play. You can talk to any youth minister about that. But for the most part, we average around 30 to 50 kids. And that's not always the same kids. It's not the kind of programs where you sign up and you have to come to everything we offer or you're kicked out. You're not joining anything. You're just a part of it. And so that number fluctuates. But so it's different kids all the time, too, which is really cool to see. Same for the young adults. It's not always all the same, although there are some regulars. We do have seasons with that because of the nature of college and also seminarians. We have a bunch of them, not only from our parish, but from the diocese that like to come to our young adult ministry. So during the school year, the numbers will be a little lower, closer to 15 to 20. During the summer, we'll get 20 to sometimes closer to 40, depending on you know, who's home from vacations and such, who's not working down the shore. But when college is out, we have our strongest points for our young adult ministry as well.
That's great that they come back, because that's always a difficult time in any young person's life, is those college years and right after college. So if you're able to really keep them engaged and coming back, I mean, that's, yeah, that's wonderfully successful on your part.
Yeah. Thank you. I think about that a lot, because for me, that was a time that was very difficult in my life. There was no young adult ministry where I went back to in North Jersey for those 2.5 years. So I was missing it.
Yeah, I often say that was that lull in my life as well. I was out of college. I went to St. Joe's in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So I had that good Catholic and a good Catholic upbringing, and I had good Catholic elements. But that young adult time happened, and you kind of feel, you're in this sort of ether, just sort of floating around until you sort of find yourself. And it took me a couple of years. Fortunately, though, I found what, and the reason this is always, youth and young adult ministries have always been important to me, because I know what got me back was these friendships I had. They were informal friendships, but it was a group of people, about 6 or 8 people. And we would meet on a regular basis, not meet, we would just get together, and the conversations that would happen, we were all very comfortable speaking about our faith together, and we had a couple of young priests in the group, and a couple of former seminarians in the group, and some people who were considering discerning the to becoming a sister in the group, and we just had great conversations. Yeah. Here I was, this guy floating around on the periphery. You know, I absolutely would not be where I am today, A, married to a wonderful woman, and B, working for the diocese, if it hadn't been for 20 years ago, maybe not that long, 18 years ago, when I was a young person sort of in search of something, and I found this something. So
true.
It really is. It's you really do need that sense of community, whatever that community is. If you feel welcomed and instructed and challenged, you know, you really get something out of it.
Yeah,
you know,
makes total sense.
Yeah. Now you've been here for 8 years. You had the benefit to sort of seeing this progression of people. Have you found that people who have been in the program, either as youth or young adult, have you seen it sort of successfully that these people are staying in?
Sure. Not everyone has free will, so we always keep that in mind. and you know, during high school and college years are the most questioning years. You know, where their faith is not only challenged by outsiders, whether it be a college professor, a teacher, a debate, but also themselves. So they're questioning a lot. But for the most part, they do stay very strong. So it's the progression now starting to feel a little older, but some of them have kids. Some of the first young adults are now married with children. So it's neat to see them come back around in the parish and at our carnival and things like that. We just had our pancake breakfast with the Easter Bunny fundraiser, and one of the couples that met here seven, 8 years ago, have their little boy who's one, and they brought him. So that was really cool to see. And there's still parishioners here. He was baptized here, so that's really beautiful. Then also, you spoke earlier about Anthony Fonte. He's one of our seminarians, and he's helped out on some of our young adult retreats, been involved with our young adult softball team. And so seeing him now being ordained a deacon is beautiful. We had last year George Creel enter the seminary. He's his first-year seminarian. And I was his confirmation sponsor in 8th grade. So to see that has been awesome. Yeah. And then some of the other seminarians who are very involved in our youth and young adult ministry, Josh Nevin in Rome, he keeps in touch with us. He helps plan our retreats through FaceTime, and we plan them together. And when he was home last year on his pastoral year, he helped come on them and give talks. So, you know, they're all involved, and to see their fruits coming forth in their vocations and also the vocations of married life. And some of the young adults, too, they just help out as volunteers with the youth group. So to see all of that, and some of those were high school students when we first started, and now they're in their young 20s and they're giving back to the youth ministry program. It's just really, really beautiful to see. And others that have gone off to college and are involved in their Newman Centers and their campus ministries and Christian ministries. We have an update on our leadership portion of our website, and which is youthgroupinfo.com. A little shameless plug there.
Oh, we allow those. Go right ahead.
If you want to go on youthgroupinfo.com. Our core team leadership section is the leaders from our youth group who have served in a leadership role. They've had to apply, be interviewed, and be a part of this leadership team. Those that have graduated and move on, we do like follow-ups and show where they are now and how core team has helped them. And there's ones that have gone on mission trips, ones that have been presidents of their Newman Centers and things like that. So even just looking at that page in itself, it's like just, you know, so fulfilling to see, wow, this is really cool. God started in a root here is now, you know, totally blooming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's and talking about that progression. What do you see with youth culture, youth young adult culture in the past 8 years? It seems like, or you know, past decade since you've been at this position, you know, the smartphones, Snapchat,
ever changing.
What can you? I mean, what are, I guess, what, how have the challenges changed, and have they changed? And can you speak about that? How is your, how have you seen your role grown?
Well, in the sense of, you know, social media and things changing, you have to stay on top of everything. I just got caught wind of, for instance, this Netflix series that just came out, and I don't know too much about it, but I'm looking more into it. But I've been hearing some of my 8th grade girls talk about it, how they're all hooked on it, and it's really about those that are thinking of committing suicide, sadly, or maybe taking their life in a certain way, or self-abuse. And I just got an email about, like, how the diocese is, like, on top of all of it, and links and things for stuff. So it's like there's always something new coming out. Now, that's a very sad thing, right? So, you know, let's stay to the positive stuff, the happy stuff. So the good stuff that you stay on top of is, how can I utilize, you know, technology and stuff that's out, and use it for my ministry as well, you know, to help the kids in one respect with that, you know, for instance, that series that's out, and then also to help them stay involved. And so I found different apps and things that are safe and good to use. This one called Remind, it's a texting app. It's awesome. Teachers use it. Our high school uses it, and I caught wind of it from our high school students and signed up. Things like that have kept the ministry keep going. Instagram, awesome. I use it all the time. I will. Yeah. I have, I think, over 1,200 or 1,500 posts on our youth ministry Instagram in the last 3 years. And because it's just, there's just so much that you can post about. There's always something going on. In our leadership, the core team that I was talking about a little earlier, there's a position called social media coordinator. Every meeting, somebody is on that ministry. They have, we have a youth group phone. I donated my old phone to the ministry. We hook it up to Wi-Fi, and they are constantly snapping and posting pictures of our event as it's happening. Wow. You know, so kids could be, you know, seeing it, or, you know, we've even had some say, "Oh, I saw on Snapchat that you guys are here. I came over." You know, so you have to use it for the good. You know, and we do use it for the good. Of course, they're trusted teens who I know will post only good stuff with our name, and it's worked awesome. So, staying on top of all that, which it's funny. I look back and I say, "Oh God, you were preparing me like so well," because I've always been into like technology, the latest things. Always, when the latest, you know, I was an Apple computer person from day one, and no one knew what an Apple was, and I had one. They're like, "What's that? We can't hook up the internet to your Mac." When I got to college, they were like so confused.
One now of those everybody big has one. Ones with the color, yeah, like the different color.
I didn't have an iMac. I had a because I was graphic design, so I had a G Tower. I think I had a G3, it was called.
Oh, yeah,
I think it was six gigabytes. Mm-hmm. Like,
right. Massive.
Yeah, it was huge. You can get you can have that on like a little pen drive now. You can have like 60 gigabytes on a pen drive, like, or whatever. It's like crazy. So, so being like in that mindset has helped me in my ministry a lot, like being always on top of like the latest technologies and stuff. Now, granted, I run out of time half the time to keep up with everything, but I do try to stay on top of as much as I can to keep everybody engaged and use it for the right ways.
And there always seems to, this is very much a hooked in generation, a connected generation. And it seems like there's always some new social media, you know, Snapchat, Yik Yak.
What's next?
Yeah, exactly. What's next? So you have to all. Now, what about, speaking of your different groups, they have different names from what I understand.
Yeah.
John Paul II. Mm-hmm. What are they called and which ages?
Yeah, sure. So they all were named by the original members that were in them for the initial youth group. So, all right. So let me back that up a little bit. Jesus was 6th through 8th grade, was named by the 6th through 8th graders that first started with me in 2008. And then JP2, after St. John Paul II, was started by those current seniors that were there in 2009. And then ACTS, which stands for Aspiring Christians Taking a Stand, but also the Book of the Bible, ACTS, which we're currently in right now, the Easter season. It's kind of cool. That was also by the first young adults in that ministry. And then from there started to spring other ministries, which I named. So a lot of the siblings of the youth group members that were in 6th grade through 12th grade would say, Miss Carrie, they call me Miss Carrie because they're younger. I don't make the kids call me that, but the little kids always call me that. Miss Carrie, we want a youth group for us. And I'm like, oh, no, I have no time for this. And then I'm like, all right. Enough people asked. If they ask, I'll do it. So when that started, I was like, oh, this is easy. I'll call it Jesus Fish Guppies because guppies are little fish. So that's the 3rd through 5th grade. And then we were in one of our groups from a little spinoff of our high school youth group. It's called Spiritual Guidance, and it's like led separately guys and girls ministries, talking to them about, you know, things of their faith that apply for them in separate guys and girls setting. So I was talking to the girls one day. This is 3.5 years ago, and one of the girls said to me in the middle of my conversation, stopped me and said, Carrie, can you run a club at my high school? There are a lot of people that need to hear this stuff. And I said, I don't know. Can I? Tell me. If I can, I'll run it. She was like, okay, so listen, this is what you got to do. You need to go find out who runs the clubs at your school. Find out how we start one. And if we can do it, I will do it. You know, I'll make it happen. So she did. And then I followed through in with the school board and meeting with them and also finding an advisor who was a parishioner here at Our Lady of Peace. She was a science teacher. She is a science teacher, Miss Alfarano. And we hooked up with her and hooked up with the school board, got everything approved in the right ways. And there it started. So I was like, we need a name. I didn't want to name it after the high school youth group because it was its own thing for high school students at Williamstown. I also didn't want to make it scream Catholic. So I didn't want to call it Catholic Club. I was like, that's kind of weird. It's Catholic Club. And then it would just kind of turn off people that weren't Catholic. I wanted people to feel welcomed because it was a public school, knowing everyone there is not Catholic. And even in a Catholic school, you get that too. You'll have some Christians and stuff. But because of the public school setting, I didn't want to narrow into just Catholics. So I was praying one day in Mass. One of the readings there was, it wasn't the reading that we based it off of, but it was, You Are My Rock. And I thought, rock, the rock. And I was like, cool, like Peter was called the rock. And so and Peter's the head of our Catholic Church. You know, he was the first pope. And so I thought, we'll call it the rock. It'll be cool. It won't scream Catholic. So it's called the rock. And it's after when Jesus said to Peter, You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And so that's our verse that we kind of name it after. And it's taken off. And so now it's not only at Williamstown High School, it is at Washington Township High School, led by another youth minister. And then we started to branch off to the Catholic high school. So I am at Paul the Sixth High School. There was a chapter at St. Joe's. Right now it's on hiatus, but we're hoping to be back next year. And so the Rock has different chapters now of it as well. Wow. So the Rock at WHS is our current one at Williamstown. Yeah.
I was there, I think, for one of the, when you told me about it, I've covered so many different events.
Yeah, I remember.
Because you've done so much great work. And I was there, I saw a few, Kim Fahey, when I heard her talk, and just, and what strikes me, Carrie, we're talking, there's so much energy with this group. You did a World Youth Day. You did a walk from here to Glassboro.
Mm-hmm. On the same day as World Youth Day.
I forget.
We didn't walk to Poland.
No. One of these days you'll get a boat. And with the March for Life and the youth rally there to see so many. It's really.
We'd like to do the big and the small events. You know, we have everything here regular, our meetings and stuff. And then you get those huge events like NCYC every 2 years, the National Catholic Youth Conference. Every January, of course, the March for Life. That's awesome. We always go to that unless it snows and we can't. Like you said, doing things like pilgrimages. So we did the walking pilgrimage this summer, 7.7 miles on the hottest day of July.
Yeah.
Because July 25th, it was so hot. It was like 95 degrees. And we walked from Williamstown to Glassboro to Mary Mother Mercy, where the Doors of Mercy were. That was an easy pilgrimage to plan because it was like made so much sense, and we have this bike path that comes from here to Glassboro.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It was perfect. It was awesome. And I would like to do a World Youth Day one time. That's one thing I have not done, me personally, and taken a group to. So I would like to do that. That's on my bucket list, as well as a Steubenville conference. I've been to them on my own, but never with a group. So I have a few things I still haven't, those big things that usually is like, oh, have you done this, Stonefield. Another one is a mission trip. I would like to take a group on a mission trip. Again, been on ones personally, but to take a group on a mission trip is another one.
That would be, well, let me know. I will gladly tag along.
All right. Report it. You can report the whole time, the whole trip.
And not only, you're very busy. Not only do you do this work here at the parish, you actually are a business owner. Mm-hmm. Creative Juices by Carrie is your, and that's, correct me if I'm wrong, that deals with graphic design. Mm-hmm. And also, your stilt walker. Mm-hmm. And one, you're a very generous person. 1 year at your house in Williamstown,
yes.
You did a whole Christmas themed.
We were there for 5 years, actually.
I'm sorry. Well, I was there
for
one.
You were there for one, yeah. I'm sorry. I think you were there at the biggest one, though. It was the last one. It was the fifth year. It was like, go out with a bang.
The money raised went to, I forget what organization.
Three different charities.
Wow. And you were a stilt walker dressed up like the Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
You had Elmo there.
The whole gang.
It was amazing to see that. So, and you're just very talented. The iRace that just happened, stilt walker for that. And you make balloons, face painting. Just talk about how you started this. It's really seems to be growing.
Yeah, it's funny you should bring it up because the when I got offered the youth ministry position at St. Bridget's in 2008 with Father Mass, and he said to me, I'd like you to come on youth ministry. And I said, can I still do my entertainment work? Because I love it. I've been entertaining since I was 10 years old. Started my little sister's birthday party dressing up as a clown and playing games with the kids. And that led to teaching myself balloon animals pre-YouTube days. So no YouTube tutorials, just teaching trial and error how to make a dog, a sword, a cat, whatever. And then from there, learned a whole bunch more. In high school, I started face painting because I was an art talented person. College, I was an art major, so all that started to really come naturally, the face painting, the balloon art, going more into different detailed things. And then I was working for a company in college, and I started walking on stilts for them because they asked for stilt walkers, and I said, I'll do it, and I had some weird hidden talent, and there I was in Center City on stilts, and that was 2002, so here we are today, still walking tall at iRace and other events. I've started my own business in 2008 when I talked about when I had lost that graphic design job and had a little bit of time in between when that job ended and when Father could have me come on full time at St. Bridget's. I needed to make up that money, that pay. So I really hustled and really pushed my entertainment business. I started the LLC. I started getting myself out there, and that's when it really grew. So it was really awesome how God allowed that time for it to grow and become a really solidified business during that year. And then, the work itself, the nature of it is weekends, and it's also you can work when you want to. You can choose to take jobs or refuse jobs. And so with youth ministry, it's a perfect balance because I'm able, if I know I'm away on a retreat, to give the job to another entertainer who works for me or just choose to not cover it at all. Or if I know I'm free and I have no other obligations, I can totally take the job. So it's great because it's flexible in that way. It's great because there's no job that's really more than the most 3 or 4 hours as your longest, but most jobs are 1 to 2 hours. So just quick little snippets where you can have fun, make a little extra cash, and then also give back with your talents. So again, I volunteer at iRace and I have all my entertainers and costumes like Elmo and Woody there. And I've done a lot of events throughout the diocese. At one point, I was volunteering at St. Michael's School teaching a balloon art class for the students, 6th through 8th grade. That was when I was at St. Bridget's because the same students were kind of part of my ministry, so I gave back to them. And just a lot of things. Anytime a church contacts me in the diocese, I would say, I give them discounted rates and things like that. So you're able to give back and balance it all. And again, you have to be energized and enthused with that. God has blessed me a lot with meeting a lot of talented youth and young adults in my ministry that can either sing, draw, dance, whatever, and putting them in a costume or putting them in, giving them a face paint kit. And a lot of my employees actually have come from the young adult and youth ministries, the current employees now to date. So it's been great to have them come through, and now they're making money, little side jobs for them and feeling, having a little job for themselves. And I'm able to put them out on jobs when I can't take them. So it's a really kind of great balance. You wouldn't put a youth minister together with it, but once you start to see it, like you come to our pancake breakfast and people are coming, they're like, wow, you have great balloon artists and face painters and costumes. And I'm like, yeah, well, I also run an entertainment company. So it kind of starts to like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, it makes total sense. It's all together here. So yeah. That's kind of like, you know, it, looking at the whole picture of it, look, it's kind of neat to see.
You know, you've done a great job here at Our Lady of Peace, and I've seen that, you know, we've seen it grow to certainly what the Rock has grown to other schools. Mm-hmm. How about elsewhere in the diocese? Have you found yourself, I know you've said that some churches will call and ask you, or some parishes will call and ask you some questions, but have you been able to sort of help other parishes? Would you want to help more parishes than you've already helped? And sort of as a side question to that, if they're looking for their own Carrie Janice, what are they looking for?
Oh, jeez.
Aside from a stilt walker.
Well, I guess, you know, with any job, you want to talk to somebody that's experienced, right? And so having been here now a little, you know, good time, and there's even a high turnover rate with even paid positions, just because it can wear you out. For us, me and my husband do not have kids at the moment. You know, we love kids. We would love to have them, but God doesn't have it in our plans at the moment. And so I'm able to give a lot of time, but I've seen through years, like, people, they start in youth ministry, they have one or two or three kids, and then it gets to be too much, and they have to pull back for their family, which is totally understandable. So there tends to be, like, a turnover rate, so there's not too many of us that have been around close to the 10-year mark. There are a handful, but so people do want to tap into those that have the experience. And so often I will get phone calls or an email. I just got one for a new youth minister in the diocese who's, hey, I'm new. You were recommended to me. Is there any way? I always get this, can I tap your brain? You know, can I, you know, just kind of pick your brain a little bit or whatever. And I'm always open to that. So yeah, absolutely. I would want somebody to do the same for me. And I did that when I first started with the youth minister that I actually, you know, went to her youth group when I was younger. When I first started, I said, let's talk a little bit, give me some ideas, you know. And so that's what I usually do. It's usually either like a 1-hour phone call, just tends to be that long, you know, just with the questions people have, or a breakfast or a lunch. And I really enjoy them because then you get to eat and talk. It's always great. And just really just, you know, what has worked, what doesn't work, what is your experience? And I'm always happy to share that. So I've done that probably about a dozen times. The coolest one, I would say, was outside of our diocese. They're all cool. No, sorry if you're hearing this, and we stuck. But I thought this was really neat. Somebody called me and said, hi, I'm so-and-so from, it was a diocese in Pennsylvania. I can't remember which one. And my friend was passing through your church in the summer on a vacation, on a trip, went to Mass there, grabbed a bulletin, and saw all the youth ministry stuff in the bulletin. And so I was wondering if we could talk a little bit, because it seems like you have some great ideas and we'd like to talk. So that was cool. Like, it took a friend to see the bulletin, to share it with somebody else, and then they took it upon themselves to call me. So it was kind of neat, and you know, I was happy to share with them. We talked for a good amount of time, sharing ideas and thoughts and stuff. So yeah, I'm always happy to do it. I've done it with a few. Some of my closest friends have become youth ministers, so that's been neat to see. Kim Fahey being one of them. She's over in Hamilton at St. Joe's, Marymount Carmel, and so she used to volunteer with me a little bit and kind of got, you know, her feet wet here, and then when that position opened, I said, you should do it, and she did, and she's doing a great job over there. So it's neat to see some people that have volunteered with me, also have worked with me in the past, have started youth ministries, so around the diocese as well. So it's been neat to see, you know, wherever it can help. You know, it's not just an Our Lady of Peace thing. And it's not even just a Camden Diocese thing. It's a faith thing, you know. It's a Catholic thing. So where we can share it and spread it, hey, yeah, let's keep going.
And looking forward to the upcoming Synod in 2018 for youth. Is your parish doing anything? I know there are a few listening sessions coming up in the diocese. I think, I forgot to say this at the beginning, but I believe May 16th, Tuesday, it's going to be in Collingswood. There's a listening session. But is there anything that you're going to be doing with your group?
I've already done some stuff, yeah.
Great.
I've attended a few meetings. One was with the bishop, with some of the youth ministers. It was that group of people that have been around for a while. They did the experienced youth ministers at that one. So it was neat. We were there together and had lunch with the bishop and just kind of talked about everything within our ministries. I've also, what is it, where they're collecting data.
Just collecting data, the listening you have session.
To do the website we have to go to, the survey.
Oh, the survey,
The survey that's out.
Yeah.
So one of my youth group meetings, I was like, all right, everybody, I know you like having your phones out. Take them out. Don't worry, we have Wi-Fi. And I made everybody, we have 48 kids at night. I made everybody like do the web, did the survey to give our information, and as well my young adult group I did as well with them, just kind of keeping in the loop with the emails from Greg Coogan, who oversees you at the young adult ministry in the diocese, and keeping in touch and whatever they ask of us, you know, helping out with it. Be neat to see what comes of that synod, you know, because you know synods and preparing for them is part of it, and then the after effects are really what we look forward to see. You know, what changes will happen? How is it gonna shape and change not only youth and young adult ministries, I think vocations is tied into that as well.
Exactly, yeah. It would be nice to see the fruits that come out of this conversation that will go synods in 2018.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's nice that we're starting
early.
And with that, in talk, you were also on the IRIS committee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in, and could you speak about our bishop? You mentioned that Bishop Sullivan seems... he's very, very engaging with the youth and with the, has he come to this parish? Has he?
Yeah. So, first on iRace, I've been on the committee for a few years now. They picked a good person to get for entertainment. Like, yes, we got face painter and balloonars. And I love it. Mm-hmm. I love being on stilts at that event, making balloons for the kids. I really enjoy it because, you see so many people, you know, so it's really fun. And it's a great event. It's great for vocations. The great team of people we work with John Kalitz and Father Romano. It's a really great dynamic. I'm looking forward to it coming up right here shortly. It will have happened already when you hear this. That's a great event. It's been great serving on that committee. And then as far as the bishop, it's awesome seeing him not only there at iRace, but the greatest thing I think about our bishop is his presence. Well, he has a lot of great attributes, but one of the ones that stand out is his presence. So doing all of our confirmations, it's been really wonderful to see. Being present at the Diocese Youth Congress every year since he's been a bishop. Mm-hmm. He says the closing mass there. And our kids got to know him, and he knows a lot of them by first name, so it's really great. And then he was here, I think it was 2 years ago now. He heard about how we have our Thursday night spiritual guidance nights, which also has pizza. He kept calling it pizza night. He's like, I'm going to come to one of your pizza nights. I said, okay. I don't have New York pizza, but we'll get it. So we had him here, and he was great. He talked a lot about St. Therese. I remember that. It was in October. It was actually the end of September, right before her feast day, which is October 1st. And he was talking about St. Therese a lot in our conversations. And just shared with us, and then ate pizza and hung out. And being from North Jersey, I have a Yankee flag in my office, and so he was waving the flag. We have a picture of him waving the flag.
Oh,
it was great.
Yeah,
he is. When he said he was a Yankee, I was like, yeah, all right.
Well, I have to admit, I have family up in North Jersey, so I'm more Phillies, but I appreciate the Yankees.
Nice.
Other
way around. I'm more Yankees, but appreciate the Phillies.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can coexist.
So don't get mad at me, everybody.
Yeah, do not turn this off.
Yes.
Speaking of Carrie, I've always seen you. You have a remarkable ability. Every time I see you, you're always such a light with that youthful exuberance. You're always, you're pure adrenaline in my eyes. You just have... I don't know, somewhere you have like a caffeine drip constantly, or maybe you just organically make it.
I give a lot of money to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. but with that, it's common in the human experience for people to have their down times, to have their moments of whatever, doubt, weakness, whatever you may call it. How do you go through that? What do you do to kind of combat those moments, which seem to be few?
Thanks. I try to always stay positive. I've always been this way. Like, you kind of look at life and you have two choices. So, like, why pick the downside when you can pick the positive side? For me, it's like it just seems natural, and it is natural. It's nothing fake about my enthusiasm. It just comes from being happy, and a lot of that, most of that I will attribute completely to the Lord, you know, just bringing joy to people and the ministries that I'm in and even the field of work of entertainment that I'm in, you get to bring a lot of joy to people. So it's easy and it's natural for me to do that. The downtimes, I recently lost my dog, and I would put that at a downtime. And the year before that, last year, I lost both of my grandparents, who I was very close to. So those were like real low points in my life as far as my happiness being down. But in them, I tried to still find the silver lining. So I try not to, let it reflect. I lost my dog the week before. Our retreat was Friday. I lost my dog Tuesday. And I said, God, why did you do this? This is what I need. The absolute most energy that I can have, I need it. I have 60 high school students for a weekend that we've prepared every moment of this retreat for the last 8 weeks. And to go into the sad is going to be hard. And so God just bring, like, I take it to prayer, and God really has brought forth, even in the sorrowous times, joy. It's amazing. I know how he does it, but he's God, so I don't have to question it. It's like, okay, well, why am I even thinking about this? But, like, he really has. So after that retreat was done, we do a closing ceremony with all the parents and family members and friends. And we have mass, and then the kids can talk, the ones that are leaders, and then anybody else. And then I always share some closing remarks. And, of course, the retreats are awesome. It's great, and the kids run them, with their talks and stuff. And I said at the end, I said, I was really worried coming into this weekend. I was sad, mourning the loss of my dog, who was like our kid in our house, because we have no kids. He was like our son, in a sense. He was a dog, but, and I said, and God really, he just did it. He said, this is why it's happening this week. He didn't say this, but I felt this, because there is so much joy and I need to give of myself so much to these kids this weekend that it's going to take away that sorrow. And that's exactly what happened. Like, from Friday to Sunday, the sorrow was gone. It was filled with the joy of the retreat. It was filled with serving and giving of myself. And in giving of myself, I was filled back up with joy in that gaping hole that I had going into it on Friday. And so when we give of ourselves and really in our true vocation, whether it be, as a youth minister, as a priest, as a married man, a married woman, whatever our vocations are, when we are giving ourselves in that vocation, and I say youth ministry as a vocation because it truly is a calling, as many other positions are, and not just in our priesthood, religious life, such. When we're giving of ourselves, it only can fill us back up with joy. One of my greatest heroes and favorite saint is Saint Mother Teresa. And I look at her, and while I never felt this way, probably only a tinge of it, maybe even in my course of my life, she didn't feel God's presence for many, many years, right? And you hear that, and you're like, what? She, would have a smile on her face, and she'd be serving with love and picking up people who were dying, who had flies on them, who were smelly, who had sores all over them, whatever the case may be. And she did that with joy. And if she could do that, my mom, I'm like, I can get through losing my dog and serving on a retreat or whatever it might be. And so I look to the saints and being one of my favorite and what they did for God. And I'm like, I can do, this is my part. This is what God's calling me to do. Mm-hmm.
And can I shift gears a little more?
Whatever you want to do, I'm ready.
First off, thank you for sharing that. You just got really deep and wonderful right there.
You're welcome.
I just have to say that it's great. We're in this time of Easter, and I love you seem to project that joy, the Easter joy that we're in right now. Hallelujah is our song.
We got 8 days of Easter. We're still going.
Yeah, we're until Pentecost coming up.
Yeah, we really got 50 if we want to count.
But another thing with these coming months is the warmer weather is softball. And
yes.
Your parish is doing, I guess, every year. And Mike, you're involved too.
I was. My softball team has shut down. But who knows?
You still can be our photographer.
Well, that I can always do. I don't get a schedule, though. I got to get a schedule of the games. In my last year, our team shut down, and I spent more time photographing other people's games than actually playing, which is a shame because I always enjoyed playing poorly, but I always enjoyed playing. And I will say, over the course of the many years I did play, Our Lady of Peace and Carrie softball team, they always had the most youthful groups by far. I mean, ours was a team full of old men for the most part. That's not totally true. But Carrie's.
We had Father Sinatra.
So we had his energy. We didn't need any other energy. We had his energy. But it was great. And I will absolutely have to make it out to some softball games. That'll be good. But you know, we gotta start tying it up now. Do you have your three questions?
I just want to say for some book, go Our Lady of Peace.
We'll have to
turn me back. That's it.
We'll have to do softball recaps eventually.
Sure, there you go.
Yes.
Do a softball minute. Okay, Gary, the three questions. First off, we talked about graphic design and art.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite piece of art?
I mean, there's a few that stand out. That's a zinger question, man. That's hard. My favorite artist growing up was M.C. Escher. He really inspired me. He did a lot of really cool visual drawings that, like, played with space. So that was my favorite artist growing up. Dolly stands out to me a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Any religious piece I'll take. I've been blessed the last 3 years to go to Europe twice now and see a lot of different cathedrals and artwork and the Vatican Museum, and seeing all them up close that I had studied in college, a lot of the artwork, fine art and cathedrals and churches has just been so awesome to see in person. I can't say just there's not one. But there's a lot of individual ones, but I can't say one. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You don't have to apologize for anything. With the upcoming Great Adventure trip, is your group going?
Yeah, we're going to keep the car front row. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, then
we always go.
Maybe that answered my question. What is your favorite roller coaster ride
attraction?
Well,
actually, it would be Nitro. I like King the Kong. It's like cool and like huge, and everyone's like, "Oh, you were getting off." Yeah, of course. But Nitro is my favorite because it's smooth and it's long. It's like 2.5 minutes.
Is that a loop de loop?
No, it's not over. It's not. You don't go upside down, but it's a lot of hills.
Okay, Is it one of those you're just a regular strapped in?
Yep,
or like,
just regular. Yep.
I know
flat bar.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun fact, King the Kong. I in like my first or second youth ministry trip to Great Adventure for the youth rally, I lost my hat on it and I flew off.
Oh my gosh.
And I think about it every year since. When we go on that little little hump when it used to first go up the track, I'm like, there's where my hat fell.
It's not there.
No, they it was there for the rest of the day and they wouldn't get it. I was like, oh, come on, Great Adventure.
Still bitter.
Yes. Who's holding a grudge 7 years later? My hat.
Hats are very important. You develop a relationship with a hat.
It actually had my name embroidered on the back. I think
See?
That's why I like that so much.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and it's just well fitted. But whatever.
Yeah, I left. I remember I was going to visit my sister in Oregon after the Phillies won the World Series, and I had a championship hat.
Mm.
I think for the playoffs. I left it on Southwest Airlines. And I always remember that. So lost hats. I mean, they're killers.
Yeah.
So the last question, Carrie. Being a youth minister, coordinator, youth internal ministry here, you do a lot. You bring people together through icebreakers. Do you have a favorite icebreaker that you like to play with people?
Yeah. I have my go-to one, which is like never fails, always going to be fun. People love it. And no matter what, if it's on a retreat, if it's on a regular meeting, if it's I'm meeting people for the first time, I've done retreats even for other parishes for their confirmation prep. So, like, I always bring this one with me. It's like one of those ones is hand down. You're gonna get good results, and that's everyone in the circle. I played it actually when I was in youth group too, so I think I have a love for it there. But everyone's in a circle with chairs, the one person's in the middle, and they say something about themselves. So, hi, my name is Carrie, and I like to play softball. And then anybody else that likes to play softball will switch seats and find a new seat, like, that is not next to them. So there's, like, kids running and crashing in the middle. It's awesome. It's really nuts. So they're, like, just running back and forth and just finding seats. And then whoever left has to say next. So, you know, kids love that kind of stuff. So I like it, too. So that's my go-to. And I like it. Yeah. There's other ones, but that's my go-to.
Yeah. You didn't say two truths and a lie. I
kind of
like that.
Yeah, I do that one, too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Carrie,
that one though, like you get kids and they're like, and you know that that's their lie because
yeah,
they're trying to think
exactly.
of it.
That's
you know, it doesn't always go over as well.
That would be in baseball. It would be tipping their pitch.
Yeah.
So But it will carry. Janice, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was really great. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, happy to have you.
Pete, yeah, it was great.
We'll come back again, Len. Anytime you think there's a good person that we should talk to for the podcast, let us know. We're always looking for good candidates. It sounds like you got plenty of them here.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
we'll
and your website is, what is your two websites? For youth group info?
Youthgroupinfo.com.
Okay. And your,
and then my company one is Creative Juices by Carrie, KARI.com. Okay. And you can look at all my work and stuff up there.
Great. Well, Carrie, Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you as well. This was a good good podcast. Looking forward to seeing you again next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Me too, Mike. God bless. Thanks, Carrie.
God bless you guys.